Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
I look to my colleagues in New York. Some of them have different views on the subject. It's up to them to work it out. But there is no question there is a concerted effort to make this a political issue by some. And I join those who have called for looking into how is this opposition to the mosque being funded. How is this being ginned up that here we are talking about Treasure Island, something we've been working on for decades, something of great interest to our community as we go forward to an election about the future of our country, and two of the first three questions are about a zoning issue in New York City.
Can you regret jumping into the Islamic Center?
The answer is no regrets.
I don't see a problem with that. I feel that certainly the project is well within its constitutional rights to pursue the current site that they are planning for their project, and that perhaps they don't want an alternative, but perhaps they want to stay where they are, and that's their fundamental right. I think this is what the president has articulated. I think this is what the Constitution articulates, and therefore I just feel that they perhaps decided that they want to go forward, and so they're not looking for an alternative.
It's not funny. We got Pelosi exposing her Mussolini-like attitudes, saying that in her opinion, anyone who opposes the mosque should be investigated by the United States government. Not one word from the illegitimate, mentally disordered left about this so-called McCarthyism coming out of this harebrained Speaker of the House. Not one word from civil libertarians about the dangers of the Speaker of the House, third in the line of succession, demanding that 70% of Americans be investigated by the federal government because they oppose the building of a foreign-funded mosque on the cemetery grounds of Ground Zero. Nancy Pelosi should be forced to resign as a result of this, but there's much more to be said about Obama's alliance with the Islamists on this project. This has developed to an extent that you wouldn't believe. Obama the other day said Islam has always been part of America. When I heard that on the show and played it, I said, what part of America is he talking about? And there's an amazing story about Obama's distortions from the beginning to the end. The fact of the matter is, we're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about how you feel about Nancy Pelosi wants New York City mosque opponents investigated. We're going to talk about who Mahdi Bray is, the head of the American Muslim Society, and ask ourselves why a former felon is being taken seriously by the American vermin leftist media that will not even ask themselves why they're listening to a former felon who put a skull cap on and now is suddenly a spokesman for the American Muslim Society. Why don't they look into the man's jail time? You talk about this country? What country are you talking about when there is no opposition party? Can you name one Republican? Can you name one leader on the Republican side who has had the balls to stand up and be counted on this issue? The biggest shame of them all. The number one and biggest shame. And why I predict, by the way, that the Republicans, I'd say it's 50-50 that they will lose. Not only are the lies they're telling you that they're going to win a big sweep come November, I will tell you that because the Republicans are supine on this Muslim mosque issue, I tell you right now, they're not going to have the victory parades that you are expecting in November. That's number one. Number two, I told you, do not discount Barack Obama. He knows where his money comes from. He knows that the money that put him in power came from the same sources that will put that mosque over the graves of the dead at Ground Zero. And he has bet again that they will support him all over again. And so don't underestimate Obama, not when the money will be flowing in from Saudi Arabia and maybe even Iran. So let's go into the issue itself, the Ground Zero mosque. Yesterday on the Savage Nation, I reported that an educated Muslim, a man who runs Al Arabiya Television, came out saying that we should not build a mosque. I don't know where the article went on michaelsavage.com. It was the most important article I had, but apparently it got disappeared by my webmaster. Here it is. I got buried underneath a picture of a toilet bowl and a bar of soap. Here it is. But it should be moved up. You shouldn't miss this article because it was taken down soon after I announced it on the Savage Nation. Arab TV director says the Ground Zero Mosque would be a monument for terrorists. The director of Al Arabiya TV, a popular Arab language news station, wrote that, quote, Muslims never asked for the proposed mosque at Ground Zero and, quote, do not care about its construction. In a column for the London Daily Al-Shark Al-Awad on August 16th, he wrote it in Arabic, by the way, and although I do not read Arabic, I can read an English translation. But apparently, the only thing that Mayor Bloomberg could read are restaurant menus. But the director of Al Arabiya TV went on. Remember now, you're listening to the words of a Muslim, an educated Muslim, not a former jailhouse operant who suddenly found God inside the prisons and came out with the most militant form of Islam you could ever imagine. Here is what an educated, moderate Muslim had to say again. Muslims never ask for the proposed mosque and do not care about its construction. I can't imagine that Muslims actually want a mosque at this particular location because it will become an arena for the promoters of hatred and a monument to those who committed the crime, he wrote. Now listen to the rest of this. Moreover, there are no practicing Muslims in the area who need a place to worship because it is a commercial district. Is there anyone who is really eager to build this mosque? Now what's amazing to me is that this has been lost from the dialogue, and that's because the radical left-wing press in America, which hates Christians, hates Christianity, hates the Bible, is 100% behind the mosque, 100% behind radical Islam. They may as well be working for Al-Qaeda in terms of the positions they're taking, not only on Ground Zero, on the Ground Zero Mosque, but virtually on every war that has been fought to try to suppress the forces of oppression and hatred around the globe. This is the Savage Nation. I'm sure you have strong opinions on this issue. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. Now, I want to go back to our first Islamic president. There is no question that his loyalties do not lie with this country. That's my opinion. Just as the radical left will always wrap itself in the Constitution when they're trying to steal something from us, Obama is no different. Mahdi Bray of the American Muslim Society wraps himself in the Constitution, the very Constitution that I'm sure he would like to destroy once Sharia law is introduced into America. Because I want to remind you of something. There is no Constitution. There is no progress. There is no justice. There is no tolerance. And there is no dignity for non-Muslims in the Muslim world. Let me be very clear about it. President Obama is lying when he says that the Muslims remind us of the principles. Remember at the Ramadan dinner? Here's what he said. This is Obama. The principles of Ramadan, said the president, remind us of the principles that we hold in common and Islam's role in advancing justice, progress, tolerance, and dignity of all human beings. Obama went on to say Ramadan is a celebration of a faith known for great diversity and racial equality. And here in the United States, Ramadan is a reminder that Islam has always been part of America and that American Muslims have made extraordinary contributions to our country. Not only could he be more wrong, but he's the biggest liar to have ever occupied the White House. And unless you stand up and say it like it is, I'm warning you, you're going to lose your country. Now, I want to refer to a refutation about Obama's lies when he says that Islam has always been part of America and that American Muslims have made extraordinary contributions to our country. I want to quote from the editorial, Obama's Islamic America. What country is he talking about, from the Washington Times? I'll read it to you now. That Islam has had a major role in advancing justice, progress, tolerance, and the dignity of all human beings may come as a surprise to Muslim women. Young Afghan girls who are having acid thrown in their faces on the way to school might want to offer their perspectives. That Islam is known for diversity and racial equality is also a bit of a reach. This certainly does not refer to religious diversity, which is non-existent. in many Muslim-majority states. This is a plaudit better reserved for a speech at the opening of a synagogue in Mecca. Most puzzling is Obama's claim that Islam has always been part of America. Islam had no influence on the origins and development of the United States. It contributed nothing to early American political culture, art, literature, music, or any other aspect of the early nation. Throughout most of American history, the Muslim world was perceived as remote, alien, and belligerent. Perhaps the president was thinking about the Barbary pirates and their role in the founding of the U.S. Navy, or Andrew Jackson's dispatch of frigates against Muslim pirates in Sumatra in the 1830s. Maybe Obama was recalling Rutherby Hayes' 1880 statement regarding Morocco on the necessity, in accordance with the humane and enlightened spirit of the age, of putting an end to the persecutions which have been so prevalent in that country, of persons of a faith other than the Muslim, and especially of the Hebrew residents of Morocco. Close quote. I wish that we had a president like Rutherby Hayes now. Or how about Grover Cleveland's 1896 comment on the continuing massacre of Armenian Christians? Would you like to hear it, all of you lovers of the Islamists? Here is what Grover Cleveland, a man with guts and brains and an education unlike the dolt in the White House now, said in 1896. We have been afflicted by continued and not infrequent reports of the wanton destruction of homes and the bloody butchery of men, women, and children made martyrs to their profession of Christian faith. It so mars the humane and enlightened civilization that belongs to the close of the 19th century that it seems hardly possible that the earnest demand of good people throughout the Christian world for its corrective treatment will remain unanswered. Close quote. Now, that is because those words are so well written that they would not even be understood by today's Twitter generation. It is also customary in the United States to search for obscure contributions made by in vogue minority groups as a feel-good way of promoting inclusion. But let me give you an example from the Washington Times editorial. One of the earliest Muslims to come to the United States was a 17th century Egyptian named Nursereddin, who settled in the Catskills and was described by one chronicler as, quote, haughty, morose, unprincipled, cruel, and dissipated. Spurned by the princess of an Indian tribe that had befriended him, he managed through a subterfuge to poison her. He was later run down by the betrayed Indians, who burned them alive. It's not the kind of tale that makes it into politically correct history books. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be back.
Savage.
I look to my colleagues in New York. Some of them have different views on the subject. It's up to them to work it out. But there is no question that there is a concerted effort to make this a political issue by some. And I join those who have called for looking into how is this opposition to the mosque being funded.
How do you feel about Nancy Pelosi calling for a federal witch hunt against those who oppose the Ground Zero Mosque? How do you feel waking up today and realizing that everything we've been warning you about, Mussolini in a dress, has been true? How do you feel about learning that your Democrat Socialist Congress is really a disguise, a mask, a charade, a sort of stuccoed over fascist edifice? How do you feel about that? New York City, WOR. Jeff, you're up. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I think, first off, Pelosi is a fascist, but that's not the reason for my call. I think part of it is liberalism is a mental disorder, and you have all these politicians out there who are just insane. But the other part could be what you alluded to in your monologue, don't underestimate Barry, in which case, is there a possibility that this is all a diversion from 10% unemployment to wars that we're losing and other issues that are out there that aren't being discussed in the media?
I don't believe it's a diversion. I think he's so incompetent. I believe he's so incompetent that he has no idea what leadership means, and he just keeps making everything worse, including dividing one man against another to a level I have not seen in my entire life. It's far worse than the 1960s.
No, I agree. I mean, I've never seen anything like
that. I do not believe it's a diversion. Certainly the economy is a basket case. It's much higher than a 10% unemployment. When you add in the underemployed in America, this is certainly not going to go away before the election. The mosque issue will go away before the election, but not the issues you mentioned. The wars will not go away. The unemployment will not go away. His incompetence will not go away. And so, therefore, I don't think it's a distraction whatsoever. I think that the man is out of control and doesn't know what he's talking about. But how do you feel about Nancy Pelosi calling for a witch hunt against those who oppose the mosque? What does that tell you about liberalism?
I think she'll be joining the unemployment line very soon because I don't see her lasting as Speaker of the House.
Really? Has there been any outrage amongst Republicans calling for her ouster?
Republicans, do they even exist as a political party? I mean...
All right, I rest my case. We have no opposition party other than the people themselves. We, the people, are the opposition party. Now, you may say the Tea Parties are, and they are. But where is your power center? There is no King Solomon. Or rather, there is no King David who has unified the Tea Parties. All of the Tea Parties in America are awaiting the arrival of an American King David. You are like the disparate tribes of ancient Israel. If you want to get biblical about it, the individual Tea Parties are like the ancient Israeli tribes who are strong unto themselves but need a unification which can only come from a strong leader. King David unified the ancient tribes of Israel and created a nation, forged the new nation. Likewise, in America, we are awaiting the arrival on the scene of a King David. Thus far, he does not exist. And if you think that it's Romney, you're insane. If you think it's Palin, you're out of your mind. Palin is unelectable as president. And if the Republicans run her, you're going to have Barry Obama, not only for four more years, you'll have him for 40 more years. Don't even think about that. McCain, they're liable to run him again. They're just liable to take this old shoe and put it back on the elephant's foot once again. This is the Savage Nation. I invite you to go to michaelsavage.com for all things that we have discussed today.
Savage.
The half-Muslim president made a gigantic error by showing his true colors and flying the flag of, let us say, secular Islam. For the sake of argument, let us say that Obama is a well-meaning president. Let us say the fact that his father is a Muslim makes no difference than if one's father were a Hindu and there was an issue to do with India, or if one's father were Jewish and it was an issue to do with Israel. You wouldn't look any further than that and say, well, it's his decision. And you could say that he believes that most Muslims are moderate and that the mosque should be supported and that it's just like a church and it's just like a synagogue, but you'd be wrong if you did. And the reason you would be wrong if you did is because history would not support your position. You have heard that Obama, Hamas, and Bloomberg all agree on the Ground Zero Victory Mosque. That's right. It's strange that Hamas and a Jewish mayor, Bloomberg, happen to agree on one thing, and that's that a Victory Mosque should be built at Ground Zero. Very, very interesting how liberal humanism has failed when it has come face-to-face against radical Islam. Liberal secular humanism, as you well know, is the religion of state. Although they say that we want a separation of church and state, and they keep repeating it with the vermin in the ACLU hawking that over and over again, the fact is there is a state religion. It's called liberal humanism. And this weak religion, which does not believe in God, has utterly failed us in the war against radical Islam. Now, you may say that this has nothing to do with radical Islam. You may say that the mosque at Ground Zero is simply another house of worship. And that you may say, I agree with Barack Obama when he says that we must have religious freedom and that Muslims have the same right to build a mosque wherever they wish and practice wherever they wish on private property. Well, I would say that would be fair the day that they permit a church to be built in Saudi Arabia. The day that they permit a church or a synagogue to be built anywhere in Saudi Arabia would be a day I might believe anything that Obama says about Islam. But more particularly, let me ask the president this. Would he think that a trade might be in place where he says, I'll tell you what, I'm going to speak to the king of Saudi Arabia, since they're on first-person terms. As you remember, the president was given some bling by the king of Saudi Arabia a few years ago, something he enjoys very much, the big gold chain. He must wear it in the privacy of his own home, whatever. But since that day, I'm sure they've been in touch. So let me ask you something. Can he call up his good friend, the king of Saudi Arabia, and say there's a big hullabaloo here in my country about building the mosque so close to Ground Zero? Can you please authorize the construction of a church two blocks away from the site of the Hajj? Can you please authorize the construction of a synagogue two blocks away from the site of the Hajj? Because after all, it's a new world order. After all, we're no longer living in the Middle Ages. After all, we know that it's a new world. And so therefore, I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, you're wrong on every account. Now, since you have been hearing about this and you cannot read about it in most newspapers because they've covered it up in order to make certain that the world goes on in ignorance, I'm going to do something that has not yet been done with regard to the Ground Zero Mosque. And I am going to disclose for the first time in the American media the five victory mosques that have been built around the world on the sites of other religions after the Muslims have conquered the previous inhabitants of the area. I hope you understand what I just said to you. Let's begin with the most obvious, the things you may know about. The Al-Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem is said to be one of the holiest sites in Islam. Apparently every site is holy to Islam, but it's actually the holiest site in Judaism because that's where the original Jewish temple was built. And it was destroyed by the Romans. And when the Muslims conquered the area, what was built on top of the Holy Temple? It was a mosque. The Al-Aqsa Mosque was built on top of one of the holiest sites in Judaism, the Temple Mount. When the Crusaders captured Jerusalem in 1099, they used the mosque as a palace and church. But its function as a mosque was restored after its recapture by Saladin. So for the simplistic reasons of history, and for those idiots amongst us who do not know their history and are going to be condemned to repeat it, I will continue with the other mosques that were built on other religious sites after the Muslims conquered that particular culture. There are quite a few others. Some you may know. Do you know about the Hagia Sophia, the largest Christian cathedral for nearly 1,000 years, in what is now known as Turkey? You don't know about that. It was a great church. If you go to Turkey, you look into a mosque, and you say, my God, this is gorgeous. Wow. Those Muslims sure know how to build. But in fact, it was a Christian church for 1,000 years. Did you know that? Large cathedral, seat of the Patriarch of Constantinople, religious focal point of the Eastern Orthodox Church for nearly 1,000 years. In 1453, Constantinople conquered by the Ottoman Turks, and a sultan ordered the building to be converted into a mosque. The bells, the altar, and sacrificial vessels, Christian symbols, by the way, were removed, and many of the Christian mosaics were plastered over by the Muslim conquerors. The Islamic features that you now see, such as the four minarets outside, were added to the church over the course of its history under the Ottomans. What you may not know, and which is an interesting twist on history, is that this building remained a mosque until 1935, when it was converted into a museum by the Secularist Republic of Turkey. Wouldn't it be wonderful if Turkey had remained secularist? Because it was quite an advanced nation. Many of you don't know, and correct me if I am mistaken, but Turkey was the first nation in the world to grant women the right to vote. They preceded us in this. Turkey was so advanced, despite all of their horrors, including the Armenian Holocaust, the Turks granted women the right to vote before we did here in America, I believe. But that was then, this is now. Turkey has now become slightly radicalized and is going more and more in that direction. Let us continue with our list of victory mosques around the world, whether it be the Al-Aqsa Mosque or the Hagia Sophia in Turkey. I want you to understand that building a mosque after you have conquered a certain territory, in this case, they have conquered Lower New York, is really not an anomaly. It's part of the tradition. This is something that you would expect a genius billionaire like Bloomberg to know. But then again, as you well know, Bloomberg has proven one thing, if he's proven anything. which is that a billionaire can be a big, stupid moron.
Savage.
I was in, I think the seventh, could have been eighth grade, and we have a civics class. And one of the things that we studied was the Bill of Rights. And the first one is the ability to say what you want to say, which means pray to whomever you want, any ways you want, anywheres that you want. And I think that is one of the fundamental things that differentiates America from every place else.
See, this is an example of why Bloomberg is sort of out to lunch on this issue. He's a case of arrested development stuck in the seventh or eighth grade. He has no idea what the hell he's talking about. We all agree that there is a fundamental tenet of freedom of speech and freedom of religion. No one's arguing with that. There are currently over 100 mosques in New York City. 100 mosques in New York City. 100 mosques in New York City. Right now, no one is saying we are opposed to building mosques. We're saying we believe this burial ground is a sacred site and do not build anything on the sacred site, especially a monument to the Islamists who destroyed us. Even the educated Arabs agree with that position. But the case of the arrested development mayor, who is stuck in the seventh or eighth grade and speaks with such utter pomposity as though it's the truth, gives you an example of why liberalism is a very dangerous mental disorder. We're not talking about rights and constitutional rights. And the mayor is also lying on top of it all. Why do I say that? Those are strong words. Because as we learned yesterday on the Savage Nation, there is a Greek Orthodox church that was destroyed during the Islamist attacks on 9/11. And they have been tied up in the red tape of New York City, unable to rebuild the Greek Orthodox church in the very same area. And yet the mosque is being given the express lane while the church has been put on the local. So why is the redevelopment of the church on the local sidetrack while the mosque is being given the fast lane? Well, something just came out as well. The troublemaking provocateur imam behind this mosque, who is not a nice man in my opinion, who has been collecting taxpayer money to go on Mideast tours in the past, has now said he will raise money wherever he wants, including Saudi Arabia and Iran. He doesn't care what you think of it. If he has to, he'll bring money in from Iran itself and Saudi Arabia to build this mosque. How do you feel about that? This is developing each day until finally even the dumbest amongst you, even the biggest moron amongst you who is simply a baseball loving, barbecuing, drinking dope, will finally understand what's at stake. Even the biggest beer-guzzling, hot-dog-schlubbing political moron listening to this show will finally come to understand what's being done right under your nose, precisely because you're a fool and an oaf. The U.S. is spending $16,000 for the troublemaker imam's Mideast tour. The imam behind plans for the mosque near the Manhattan site of the September 11 attacks is going on a three-nation outreach trip to the Middle East that will cost $16,000 of taxpayer money. Hillary Clinton authorized the money. Hillary Clinton said Imam Faisal Abdul Rauf will get a daily $200 honorarium for the 15-day tour to Bahrain, Qatar, and the UAE, which is intended to promote religious tolerance. Airfare is included, as well as the standard federal government per diem for expenses and lodging in each of the cities. And so the imam is on these trips, and the State Department values him and values his participation as a so-called religious figure. Now, Imam Rauf is the kind of religious figure that has caused wars, in my opinion. This is not a man who wants the religions of America to become closer. He wants to drive a wedge that is even larger between religions. He has refused to meet with Governor Patterson of New York. He's given Governor Patterson the middle finger, said, you know what, I'm not moving. Go to hell, I'm not taking, I'm not moving this mosque. He's digging his heels in. Mosque backers won't rule out funding from Saudi Arabia and Iran. the Islamic organization and the development company behind the Senate declined to say how much of the $100 million needed to build a facility has already been raised. But see, if we had a legitimate independent FBI that was not simply a Stepford wife of Obama, if the FBI had not already become a Stepford wife of Obama, they'd be investigating the funding of the Islamic organization behind this mosque. It would have been stopped already. But because the Justice Department, the FBI, and all of the organizations that we once loved and respected so dearly have now been forced to basically kowtow to Obama's Islamist tendencies, we are in really very deep trouble here. Why should we be spending $16,000 for this troublemaking Imam's Mideast tour? He will be in Manama, Bahrain, and then he's going on to Qatar and Abu Dhabi in the UAE. The UAE is this wonderful nation that Bush almost gave the power to control the security at nine of our seaports. Remember that little scandal? Do you remember the Dubai ports deal that yours truly, Michael Savage, stopped with your help? That was before Glenn Beck had survived his fourth hemorrhoid surgery and came back a new man, suddenly cleansed of his toxins and able to put on the charlatan's robes and become the new man that he had always dreamed of becoming. Long before Glenn Beck and Fox News even knew about the United Arab Emirates, Michael Savage was able to stop the development of the Islamist front groups here in our ports. I had originally seen the story, by the way, on the World Tribune. I thanked them right up front for that. I got the story, but I was the only one to run with it. Not old Limbaugh. Hannity at the time, I think, was still doing wallboard. I think he was still attaching wallboard somewhere in Alabama. But old Mike was there in the front lines. So here I am again, along with my cohorts, fighting the good fight. But we're not alone. Moderate, educated Muslims agree with us. We're not alone. It's not us against Muslims. It's us against radical Islam, which includes a wide swath of the educated Muslim community around the world. They know that this mosque is a provocation. They know that this mosque is a mistake. They know that this mosque is a ground zero monument for terrorists. They said so. But you won't read that in the local papers. Now, to top it all off, you've got Nancy Pelosi, Mussolini's illegitimate granddaughter, in her behavior at least, having the audacity to come out and call for a witch hunt of all those who oppose the mosque. Not one word from the vermin in the media. Not one word from all the squeaking mice who scream, McCarthy, 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 McCarthy. They may as well be the puppets that Charlie McCarthy was famous for. They may as well be Charlie McCarthy, the puppet themselves, that Edgar Bergen manipulated. The vermin in the media are nothing more than puppets of the Edgar Bergens of our time. Edgar Bergen, of course, being the man whose hand was inside the puppet. And look how those who scream, McCarthy, 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 won't say a word when the real and true McCarthy in a skirt suddenly shows her fangs. Nancy Pelosi should be forced to resign as a result of calling for the investigation of the 70% of Americans who oppose the mosque. If we had a legitimate opposition party, this would not stop until she was out. They would hound her out of office. But because we have a single party running America, and then there is the American people themselves, as represented primarily by the Tea Parties today, we only have the Tea Parties, the blogs, the few websites, and the few radio shows who dare stand up to this growing Islamic fascism in the United States of America and around the world. And what's even more preposterous is that the Islamo-fascists now have cohorts in liberals such as Pelosi and Bloomberg. Now, you still don't understand why radical Islamists or such fellow travelers are adored by the radical left. You still don't see the connection between the radical left in America and the Islamists or the Islamic Front. You still don't understand why those who have hated churches, who hate Christianity, who despise the Pope, who spit on the church, who despise the family, are suddenly in love with Islam. What's even more peculiar is that Islam, in the most countries of the world, treats women worse than animals. Islam in most of the world, including your good friend Ahmadinejad, they stone homosexuals to death. How the gay communities of this country cannot understand the danger they are in is something I will never understand. It's something I still to this minute can't understand, how so many intelligent people cannot understand the danger they are in, and how their true allies in this are the conservatives of America, not the liberals. They don't understand this, and I'll never understand the blind spot. But you, my friends, are the last great hope. Don't let this go. Keep talking about the imam behind the mosque. Keep talking about Pelosi, the McCarthy of our time. Be sure to go to michaelsavage.com and check out the background of the American Muslim Society's Mahdi Bray. And you're going to find out things about old Mahdi Bray that you never knew. He has a checkered past that will make your hair stand up. That's right. Play a little Mahdi Bray for the geniuses listening to the show right now.
When it comes to constitutional rights, polls really don't take precedence over people's fundamental rights. I would dare say.
So here's a former felon who is quick with the quick language, the lingo. He's good and fast on the lingo. Now suddenly he's wrapping himself in the Constitution, the very Constitution I am sure that Sharia law would not support. But in the next hour, you're going to find out Mahdi Bray has a secret checkered past. You're going to find out what he's indicted for, what he was jailed for. It's important for you to know who you're going to bed with. All that and more right here on the Savage Nation. Be here.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
I look to my colleagues in New York. Some of them have different views on the subject. It's up to them to work it out. But there is no question there is a concerted effort to make this a political issue by some. And I join those who have called for looking into how is this opposition to the mosque being funded.
Can you regret something into the Islamic Center?
The answer is no regrets.
I was in, I think, the seventh, could have been eighth grade, and we have a civics class. And one of the things that we studied was the Bill of Rights. And the first one is the ability to say what you want to say, which means pray to whomever you want, any ways you want, anywheres that you want. And I think that is one of the fundamental things that differentiates America from every place else.
The Constitution gives us freedom of religion. I think that it's very obvious that the mosque should be built someplace else.
Somewhere beyond the sea, somewhere waiting for me.
America has been taken over the rapids by the Islamic-friendly president, and the McCarthyite Speaker of the House, who said, investigate mosque critics. How do you feel waking up today and realizing that Nancy Pelosi, the questionable, the controversial, the outrageous, the dangerous Nancy Pelosi has now reached a new low, saying that anyone who opposes the mosque should be investigated by the federal government? She now wants a witch hunt against those who oppose the building of the mosque. Would you believe that you're living in an America where the Speaker of the House of Representatives says that the 70% of Americans who oppose the building of this symbol of Islamic supremacy on the site, the cemetery of the 9/11 travesty, should be investigated. Would you believe you woke up to this today on the Savage Nation? What do you have? Michael Savage, trickle-up poverty, stopping Obama's attack on our borders, economy, and security. I predicted this in the book. I'm not making it up. You can't believe it. You know, you're seeing it with this situation. But you probably forgot this, defunding the military and putting our troops in harm's way. It's a chapter in trickle-up poverty, where I say Obama's beatnik policy of taking apart our nuclear arsenal and destroying NASA, while implementing PC rules of engagement that don't allow our troops to protect themselves, is dangerously weakening our security and ending our military dominance. The naked Marxist canon must be stopped. Obama's trickle-up poverty is infecting all that we hold to be true and self-evident. You know, it's 2 months before my book is out. It's only on Amazon.com. It's already number six amongst political books, believe it or not, which is unheard of, by the way. It's unheard of. So you think that I'm going to buy myself a yacht because the book is going to be a million copy bestseller? You're mistaken. I already have a yacht. I'm not doing it to buy a yacht. I'm doing it to alter the course of human events. I wrote Trickle Up Poverty to alter the course of human events. I envision 10,000 people holding up this book. Go look at the cover. Go look at the cover of Trickle Up Poverty, stopping Obama's attack on our borders, economy, and security, what you can do to fight back. Go look at the cover. Now imagine 10,000 of you holding up this book in front of the White House. Imagine 1,000 of you holding it up at a tea party. Imagine 10 of you holding it up at a school board meeting. Imagine one of you holding it up at a supermarket line. It's a moving billboard. I designed it that way. I'll take your calls now. Look what they did to Dr. Laura. Take a look at that story. Patricia in Medford, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you. How are you?
Good, good. I'm surprised you're calling, but I won't tell anyone I know you.
Okay. I'm absolutely loving the show. I love it. I love getting the education on Islam. I've been, the second I heard about the mosque being built a couple months ago, I've just been seeing so much, and you're talking about all of it, and I am so grateful that you are educating America. I have...
Patricia, I heard from someone dear to both of us that you generally do not listen that carefully to my show or others. But that since...
I'm raising my kids, I'm, you know, doing
right.
That.
But the mosque issue has drawn you now in the middle of August into the world of talk radio, and you cannot believe how I'm handling this, because I'm handling it extremely, very, in a very balanced manner, I think you said, and very, very moderately, in a way that doesn't scare women off, because women generally don't like yelling, screaming men. That's the truth, isn't it?
That's true. That's true. But with this mosque issue, I don't know. It just woke me up. It's been a couple months, and I've been waiting and watching for someone to be talking about it the way you are. And you are right out there. I have one analogy that I would like to make regarding Obama. And
please.
Before I heard about the mosque situation, you know, I didn't vote for him and watched all of these crazy things he was doing or not doing during our crises. And just scratching my head thinking this man is, it appears to me that he's doing all of this on purpose, not that he's an idiot at all. And so the other day when you... we're talking about the analogy of how the mosques are built on religiously conquered peoples.
Yes, like the Al-Aqsa Mosque, the one in Turkey, built in a church that had been there for 1,000 years, one of the great cathedrals on earth, converted into a mosque and such, yes?
Yes, okay, but before you talked about that, I knew that there were victory mosques. I didn't realize that they were, for the most part, religious victory mosques until you talked about it. But then you said, okay, well, what do you say about the Twin Towers? And then you quoted Osama bin Laden as talking about the Twin Towers as the representative of America's religion.
That's right. The cathedral of capitalism were the Twin Towers. Since America, particularly New York, is hardly a religious city, the true symbol, the spires of the Twin Towers, were the cross in the air to Obama. and he obliterated them, and now he wants to build his victory mosque on the ashes of the Twin Towers. That's exactly what I said.
Now, you just made a perfect Freudian slip. You said Obama. Now, I know...
No, I'm sorry. I've been up all night. My sister is very ill and in a hospital from a botched surgery. I'm sorry. I'm really distracted today. So I apologize to the president.
Okay. So here's where I want to go with it. That made a little connection with me. Okay, I get the economic, coming after us economically. So you have these pilots who came to America. They went to our schools. They learned how to fly our planes.
Mm-hmm.
To take this terrorist act and what they needed to do. I vaguely remember a long time ago, somebody at one of these schools saying that they thought it was odd that these pilots never really wanted to learn how to land the planes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's so right. It was a flight school instructor in Wisconsin, I believe, who tried to notify the FBI, but the FBI had already been gelded under George Bush and did not follow up the investigation. That is correct.
Okay.
They were busy looking into returning military veterans, people against abortion, people on talk radio, and other loyal Americans. That is right.
Okay, so now here's my completely crazy analogy, which I believe it. I believe that Obama is like one of those pilots. I think he was groomed to take the pilot seat of the White House of our country and run us into the ground. I don't...
Oh, God, wow. I can't believe this is coming out of Oregon.
Well, I don't know. I'm watching, and I everything I've seen him do, everybody thinks he's an idiot for what he's not doing during crises. I believe that's similar to not learning how to land a plane, because the point is not to land the plane. It wasn't. It was to crash the plane.
Oh, my God.
So I think he's here to crash us into the ground. I really believe it. I don't see anything that would make me think otherwise.
You don't have any other explanation for the man's behavior on every issue?
No, he doesn't even seem like a true socialist to me. There was always something behind it. I think he uses socialism to further a Muslim agenda. That's just what I think.
You mean he uses the left, which is socialist, to hoodwink them into believing he is one of them, when in fact he is not even one of them?
I think he is at all. If we look at
I don't know whether this is a product of women's intuition or whatever, but I cannot comment, Patricia, because this is your observation. I'm hard focused on Nancy Pelosi calling for a witch hunt of the 70% of Americans who oppose the mosque. How does that fit with you today? She's certainly not an Islamist. Certainly is not an Islamist. So how do you explain Nancy Pelosi calling for a witch hunt on 70% of America?
I think it's pathetic. I have so many thoughts on a lot of things. I think it's disgusting. And,
Patricia, if you keep this up, I think I know someone who's going to offer you a weekend talk show.
I don't know about that.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do. If you will cooperate with me, I will send you a free copy of Trickle Up Poverty when it comes out 2 months from now. And we know your address, okay? You're on the list. You're getting one of the first books, Patricia.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you very much for calling. Now, before I take this hiatus into the world of the incredible advertisers who support my show, I want to digress for a moment. I have a very dear sister. I never talk about my family on the show, never. She is a few years older than I am, in fairly decent shape. On Saturday, I called her. I begged her not to get a colonoscopy. I begged her not to do it. I said, I had one, I would never recommend it for another soul. Never mind Katie Couric. She's as dumb as a chickpea. Katie Couric has the brain of a chickpea. I said that the colonoscopy is the greatest fraud in the history of medicine since the intestinal surgery that all upper-class Brits engaged in at the turn of the 19th century, where they had their intestines cut out and a bag put on the side so they wouldn't have to defecate and they wouldn't have to wipe their behinds. That's actually what was done amongst the upper-class Brits because they thought going to stool was so low-class. You talk about elites and where they go and how insane they become. Well, now we have the colonoscopy, and we're told it saves lives and is this and that. Well, in addition to my horrendous experience, I warned her not to get it done on Saturday, but she wouldn't hear me. She had had two before. She had a very minor incident of something, and one of the quacks said, you have to have a colonoscopy. I said, don't do it. Don't you know there are dangers? Well, she listened to old Dr. Quack. She went in. The Dr. Quack perforated her bowel, and then it got worse. They called in a surgeon who didn't just suture the puncture where the colonoscopy had punctured her colon. They cut out 3% of her bowel. I've never heard of anything like this. What's killing me about this and why I haven't been able to sleep is my mother died from the same type of surgery. My mother, 5 years ago, 88 years old, they diagnosed it as a colon cancer, but it was a slow-growing cancer. And what you don't know, many of you, because the doctors don't tell you this, is that cancers are quite common in the elderly, and you can live with them if they're not rapidly growing, if they're not threatening a vital organ. You actually can live if you leave them alone. But the surgeon would hear nothing of it. He aggressively went in to cut out the cancer in my mother, and she died about 2 weeks later in the most agonizing way possible. Again, a surgeon killed my mother. And what's killing me about this is that a Chinese doctor who was actually her primary at the home that she was living in, the assisted living, cried to me on the phone. He was a wonderful man. He said, I told her, I told everyone not to do the surgery. I told him she could live another year without any pain, but the surgeon wouldn't hear of it. He went in and cut her and killed her. And now I see the same thing happening again. And so all I can say is, be forewarned. I'll be back.
Savage.
I have so many thoughts going through my mind at the same time. It's very hard to coalesce them into a single burning ray into your head. Here I am. Here I go. During the dark days of the Blitz, when Nazi Germany was making inroads across the globe, only a few voices kept the British people going. Right now, radical Islam is advancing across the globe. But stunningly, our own government has become incapable of defending us against this march. Our own government, in some ways, is complicit with this march of radical Islam across the globe. Now, I realize many of you will say that this mosque is meant to bridge the divide between religions. Many of you will say that you are wrong. You are the one dividing the people, not they. I would say to you, ladies and gentlemen, look into the imam behind the mosque and ask yourself why, if he wants to bridge the gap between the religions, he chooses not to listen to the governor of New York. He wouldn't even meet with him. And then, my friends, I ask you to look into the loudest spokesmouth to be heard on this issue, a man from the Muslim American Society, so-called, named Mahdi Bray. Ask yourself who he is, what his background is. And then, my friends, I ask you to look into Nancy Pelosi's background, foreground, side ground, and underground, and ask yourself why she would say there should be a witch hunt against the 70% of Americans who oppose the mosque. And then ask yourself who it is who's standing tall and speaking to you during this bombardment of hatred and lies upon our very freedoms. And then you will see which side you should be on. There's nothing else I can say to you. I paid a very high price by being banned in England. I never talk about it anymore, but very powerful forces are now at work to try to fight the very powerful Muslim forces that have taken over the English government itself. You don't know what's happened in England. You don't have any idea what's happened to England. You don't know that the Muslims have taken over the highest reaches of government in England, and I was the first victim of the American media. You don't know that, because you're all into the ha-ha-ho-ho, he-he-heidi-heidi-ho. But my friends, I got to tell you something else. The day is going to come when that government of England has been radicalized and penetrated to an extent that the Muslims will have the atomic bomb and nuclear submarines from England before they do from Pakistan.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. So, again, I apologize if I am slightly off base. I don't feel as though I made too many errors today, but I was up all night worrying about the situation I described to you before, and I may have to fly to the East Coast on very short notice, as you can well understand. And it's forcing me to, again, relive my mother's passing a number of years ago, and, of course, my own mortality, which is what we all face every day. There's nothing unique about that. However, when you have to do a daily radio show for several hours in a row, and the issue is so incredibly poignant, as the mosque issue is, when you realize the nation itself, the very freedoms upon which this nation was founded are being threatened, and the perverseness here is that duped liberals like Bloomberg, who was trapped in the seventh grade of his own mind, duped liberals don't even understand that they're being used to undermine themselves. And educated Muslims would even agree with me on that. They've written it. They've said it. People who understand the Islamist scythe, to put it in very bold terms, understand what I just said. Now, all I can do is take your calls right now, but I want to digress again for 1 minute. I began as a writer, not as an orator. I have succeeded beyond my wildest dreams, both as an author and as an orator. And I want to thank my loyal audience for that. And it's not just hokum for me to say it. I'm not selling anything right now. I began as a writer. I then went into the field of speaking, public speaking, radio, 1994. And I told you that the books I write are still largely in print. Most of the early ones still are. I call them Persian miniatures. It's a strange phenomenon for me to be using a phrase such as Persian miniature, but that's when Persia was a great nation not ruled by Islamists. But I have written Persian miniatures from the beginning. My first book, Earth Medicine, Earth Foods, about Native American lore, medicinal plants and such, is still in print, I believe. But you know, my fondest book, the book I like the most, is called Healing Children Naturally. I wrote it in 1980. I had a terrible history with it. A major New York publisher practically stole it out from under my feet, blah, blah. So I reprinted it myself. It's only available on michaelsavage.com. But you got to hear this. There's a point to this side story. I just went on Amazon to see how trickle-up poverty was doing. I can't help it. And it says other books by Michael Savage. And I go to Healing Children Naturally. I say, how could they be selling it? I'm the only one who has the book. Did someone rip off my book and offset it? They're selling used copies of Healing Children Naturally for upwards of $115 a piece. I swear to God. I said, how is this possible? $115 for a book that I have on my own website for $20? Used copies are going for $100. Somebody likes what I'm doing out there. And as I have to say to you again, I want to thank you, by the way, for giving me this pleasure in this at this age of my life. Healing Children Naturally, 7 new from $43, used from $23. Amazing to me, just amazing. Now, before I take your calls, I want to play another astonishing clip. Here is a Representative James Clyburn from somewhere in America. This is a congressman who compares the New York City mosque to a liquor store and says it should be built. Listen to clip 15.
When it comes to where and how any structure, any sanctuary should be built, we have what we call in this country community standards. And community standards ought to be left up to the community. So the decision on permitting for any building, be it a mosque or a church, whatever may be a place of worship, or be it a grocery store or a liquor store, those things are left up to community standards, and I think in this instance that's what the president made clear.
Can you believe America has fallen to this level that a congressman would call it the equivalent of a liquor store and then claim he's on the side of the mosque? He both insults not only the whole meaning of the word house of worship, but the man bungles everything in that one statement. Again, it's not the issue of the mosque. Again, it's not the issue of Islam. Again, it's the issue of the site, the location. Even the educated Muslim who is the head of Al Arabiya said that it is a sacred graveyard for the American victims of radical Islam. But apparently our own representatives are so ignorant and so desirous to please the Muslims in America, including the most radical segments of the Muslim society, that they will bend over backwards and compare the New York City mosque issue to a zoning issue. And by the way, the dunce, Nancy Pelosi, used the very same analogy. The very dangerous dunce, Nancy Pelosi, used the very same issue of a community standard, a zoning issue. Could you believe this? Can you believe this? That we have a Democrat Party that is so dangerously, not only out of touch with reality, but dangerously in touch with the most evil strains in the history of the West, that they would not comprehend what they're even saying. And so, therefore, I rest my case. I rest my case. I had thought I would wake up today and realize and see that the imam was telling the truth and he wanted peace between the religions, and he would have agreed to meet Governor Patterson. They would have moved it. But I was wrong. No, they don't want peace. They love the anguish they're causing. They love the grief that they have brought to the victims' families in New York. They love putting the knife in and turning it. They're getting another pleasure out of it, aren't they? You don't like my inflection? You haven't heard me get angry yet this week, have you? You haven't heard the vitriol come out of Michael Savage yet on this issue, have you? And you're not going to hear it today. But if this keeps up, I can guarantee you, you'll hear the vitriol very soon. Only it won't be coming from me. It will be coming from 10 million Americans outside the White House. There will be a clamoring like you've never heard in this country, unless Mahdi Bray, unless the checkered imam, alter course, they're on a course, a collision course, with America's destiny. This is the Savage Nation, 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. San Diego, Amin, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, I'm going to tell you something. 14 years ago, I left Somalia to get away from all these crazy, radical Islam. I myself, I am Islam, but I have no problems with Jews or Christians or anybody else. I love America. America gave me a sanctuary, or so I thought, against all these crazy Islamists. There's no way that mosque should be built on Ground Zero because so many people, including Muslims, Christians, Jews, anyone, died there from radical Islam. And I thought when I left Somalia many years ago that I was escaping it. Now it's coming here toward America, and people like myself and people who are peace-loving Muslims, we are really scared to death. Not only do the radical Muslims want to kill Jews, Christians, and Americans, they also want to kill us peace-loving Muslims. And I cannot...
I mean, I know that that's true because I have a Moroccan acquaintance who told me the history of Algeria and Morocco a couple of years ago, and I know that over 35,000, you know, average, decent people called who were Muslims were slaughtered by these psychotics. They fear the radical Muslims more than the Christians and Jews do, by the way.
Oh, yes, sir, because... Because
they know who they are, they know that they're murderers, and they know that they have hatred and murder in their hearts. Now I'll go the next step. Take a look at who's behind the mosque. Ask yourself, why is it that so many jailbirds and felons become Muslims and radicalized in prison, and they become radical Muslims, not moderate Muslims? Why would a nation permit prisoners to be brainwashed into the most radical Wahhabi sects in the United States of America right in their own prisons? Why do we have Wahhabi imams in the military? How do we permit a man like Major Hassan? You know who Major Hassan is, I am sure.
Yes, sir.
Major Hassan slaughtered 17 American servicemen and women. He then shot 32 others. Not one serviceman was able to fire a shot back because the people who run the military disarmed our own military on bases. Bill Clinton or Jimmy Carter disarmed our men and women on military bases precisely because they knew that the military might pull on the bases. You don't even know how far this country has fallen.
Yep.
So again, I'm trying to control myself because I'm quite upset right now, not only for personal reasons, but because I feel as though the country needs some anger right now. I've tried the moderate approach, and so far, we've gotten nowhere. The putz, Bloomberg, actually gets worse. The more you treat a putz like Bloomberg with dignity, the more stupid he becomes. Today, the putz Bloomberg has the nerve to say that he learned in the seventh grade freedom of this and freedom of that. Civics class, the putz Bloomberg got putzier. Listen to clip six again if you missed it.
I was in, I think the seventh, could have been eighth grade, and we have a civics class. And one of the things that we studied was the Bill of Rights. And the first
one... All right,
one,
turn the putz off. We've heard it already. The putz is stuck in the seventh grade in his own mind. The putz is a case of arrested development. The putz thinks that because he's a billionaire, he knows everything. He reminds me of the uncle who made a fortune and comes to your house, and you have a PhD in nuclear chemistry. And the putz uncle who made the fortune will argue with you about nuclear chemistry even though he knows nothing about it. That's who Bloomberg is. That's who Bloomberg is. Because he made a fortune, he's smarter than you in your own field of expertise. Or you're an epidemiologist, and the putz Bloomberg, because he made a fortune in publishing, will tell you he knows more about epidemiological science than you do. Here he is now citing the important studies he learned in the seventh grade. That's because no one has fundamentally stood up and say, shut up, putz, you're a moron. You don't know what the hell you're talking about. This has nothing to do with freedom of religion because there are 100 mosques in Manhattan. Shut the hell up and get on the side of the people. Shut the hell up and stop acting like the putz you are. And so I'll take a break.
Savage.
The Constitution gives us freedom of religion. I think that it's very obvious that the mosque should be built someplace else.
Well, I agree with Harry Reid for perhaps the first time in his political career. A federal law making it a crime to lie about receiving the Medal of Honor or other military decorations violates freedom of speech, a radical left-wing federal appeals court ruled Tuesday. Although there was a man who faked it and said that he had received the Medal of Honor, the 9th U.S. District Court of Appeals in San Francisco said that he has the freedom of speech to lie about the Medal of Honor. So there it is. That's the kind of judges that you have in that city of San Francisco. Judge Mylon Smith said in the majority opinion. Dissenting Judge Jay Bybee said the Constitution does not protect knowingly false speech. He said the lies about the Medal of Honor told by Xavier Alvarez dishonor every service member who has been decorated in any way and every American now serving. But the liar, Alvarez, elected in 06 to the Three Valley Water District Board in Pomona, introduced himself at a public meeting in 07 as a retired Marine who was awarded the Medal of Honor two decades before. And so he was called forth on this, and he was prosecuted under a 2006 federal law that prohibits falsely claiming to have won a military decoration. Pled guilty, sentenced to probation, but his verminous left-wing lawyers appealed it. Jonathan Libby, a deputy public defender who represented the faker Alvarez, said that the Ninth Circuit upheld the First Amendment in a very difficult case. So that's the world you're living into now. So the government now has lost the Stolen Valor Act, and so that means that, well, I guess Nancy Pelosi can claim she's a Medal of Honor winner. Bill Clinton could claim he actually was in the military when he bombed Serbia into the Stone Age. He can claim that he was actually on the ground forces. It was landed by a C-47, parachuted in. And so therefore we no longer have heroes. The reason we no longer have heroes is because the vermin, rat, left-wing, scum, communist, socialist bastards don't want you to have real heroes. They want you to think that the deviant pervert in the ACLU is equal to the boys dying and fighting in Afghanistan. That's why they just took down the Stolen Valor Act. That's the country you're now living in. Court says lying about Medal of Honor, no crime. The only crimes in America today are Islamophobia, homophobia, and Obamaphobia. I think that's a new word, Obamaphobia. I would think that it'll be on Hush's show tomorrow. Who can steal it right now? I came up with a new phrase, Obamaphobia. That's pretty good. Has anyone heard that, Beowulf? I haven't heard it. Have you? That's good. See, I coined a new phrase. Savage says Obamaphobia, a national disease. Stop the press. Maybe I should retitle Trickle Up Poverty, Overcoming Obamaphobia. It'll be a 12-step program. And it starts with a picture of our great leader in your bathroom. So every time you're on the throne, you stare at him and you realize what a great man he really is. The second, et cetera. I mean, I could do a comedic. I'm in the mood to get comedic. Very shortly after this show, I have a film crew waiting outside because the Christian Broadcasting Network has asked for an interview with me today on this issue of the mosque and some other things. And I've agreed to have them come out to a secret location. So I have to get off the air within the hour and then I have to change. You know, so I'm going to, you know, my mind is already comedic for some reason. And that's why I don't do television. It turns me into a different person. Television is much more of an entertainment medium than is radio. Radio can be much more serious. And you can use tricks in television that you can't use in radio. Here it's all voice and brain. In television, you could put on glasses that have no actual refractory characteristics. They're simply plain glass and look like you're intelligent. That's a new trick that they use. It's the same way as if you put a pair of trick glasses on a dog that have no lenses in them because it's cute. Same thing with the Fox News. You put glasses on a woman who crosses her legs with a lot of lipstick and a short dress, and suddenly it has ratings. Same there. You put a blackboard up, a pair of glasses with no refractory characteristics, and then you get a piece of chalk and you act like you're a college teacher. What could be better? America's great. The streets are paved with yolds. Yep, in America, the streets are paved with yolds. So our enemy, who is very smart, including the jailbirds who go in and come out radicalized under the Wahhabi sect of Islam, and now suddenly they realize it was Christianity and the white man who made them into a criminal. It wasn't that they were no good to begin with. All of the murderers and the pimps and the other ripoff bunko artists suddenly are told by the brainwashers in the jails that you really didn't want to rape that young girl. You didn't want to kill. You didn't want to rob. You did it because the white man made you do it. And so therefore now you have a new excuse. And the religion of the white man is Christianity, while the religion of the man of color is Islam. So come, my friends, my brother, come to prayer, my brother, and learn how you can overturn the oppression of the white man and his religion right here under his nose, because he is so distracted by his own entertainments that your job will be very easy and the road will be paved with rose petals, my friend. And believe me, they're not too far from the truth. They know exactly how easy the road is ahead. With men like Bloomberg and Obama, Pelosi, you understand how easy the road is? With schmucks who think that because they went to Ivy League schools and they understand the First Amendment, that this is an issue of freedom of religion. They don't even understand that it is not about religion whatever. It is about the site, not the religion. They have the set and frame mixed up because they never took Psych 101. Because they were in law school, they were not in the schools that taught something more than laws. If you think that the law is going to lead you to truth and justice, you are mistaken. The law, my friend, is an ass. That was written several hundred years ago by a British essayist, whose name I will not mention because I have forgotten it at this moment. But he wrote, my dear friend, Samuel Johnson wrote, the law is an ass. I think that's the nicest thing he said about the law. But if you think that law and justice are the same, my friend, you are mistaken. You couldn't be further from the truth. Law has nothing to do with justice. Law and justice may as well have a chasm between them as wide as the Grand Canyon. And so when you hear the radical Muslims who want to build a mosque citing the law and citing our constitution, you understand it has nothing to do with reality nor justice. It has to do with their desires to impose their will upon America.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Now listen up,
I look to my colleagues in New York. Some of them have different views on the subject. It's up to them to work it out. But there is no question there is a concerted effort to make this a political issue by some. And I join those who have called for looking into how is this opposition to the mosque being funded.
Let's start off by talking about the Ground Zero Mosque and the horrible developments that we've learned of today. First, let's start with Nancy Pelosi, who is so drunk on her own power that she is sort of like a drunk in a bar who is falling over drunk. She came out and said that anyone who opposes the mosque should be investigated by the government to see how they're being funded. This is unbelievable to me. I've never heard of this. Nancy Pelosi calling for a Nazi witch hunt against those with legitimate concerns about the Ground Zero mosque abomination? So she would like to investigate 70% of the American people who oppose the mosque? That is absolute fascism. Pelosi is completely disconnected from the United States of America. She is mentally deranged. The only part of the real America Pelosi ever sees is out of the window of the military planes she flies her family on between San Francisco and D.C. at taxpayer expense. She gapes at the little people who live in flyover country. Occasionally she gets wind that the peasants are discontent with their leadership. Now the leadership that would try to force a mosque onto the sacred ground of the World Trade Center. A ground, by the way, that even a moderate, educated Muslim is calling a cemetery. This is not just about liberalism. The left-winger, Harry Reid, was smart enough to state publicly that the mosque should not be built at Ground Zero. We know this is not just about Islam. The Muslim head of the Al Arabiya television network said that the mosque would be a monument for terrorists. But that's exactly what this is. This is about extremists. It's about the extremists who claim that the mosque is being built to create bridges with the community, and then refuse to meet with the governor of New York when he offers them other land. It's about extremists like Nancy Pelosi, who have no connection to reality and are focused exclusively on pushing their goals of radicalism. Now, who is the main force behind the mosque? Who is the main spokesman? That's the interesting question here. One of them is Mahdi Bray. He leads the Muslim American Society's political arm. Who is he? Well, let's start by saying he is an Islamic convert. Well, you say, well, that's not so bad. He's just one of millions of prisoners who have become radicalized in prisons. He is an African-American convert to Islam. That unto itself is no big deal. A lot of people turn themselves around in jail. But the Investigative Project on Terrorism, the IPT, tracked down court records involving Mahdi Bray and found a history of legal run-ins and deceit. What do we mean by that? Well, he was arrested for marijuana and cocaine possession. Nothing today. Then came grand larceny charges for cashing checks off a debt account just 2 weeks later. What's that all about? While incarcerated, Bray secretly was keeping hundreds of dollars a month in workers' comp money intended for his grandfather, who had been injured while working at the Norfolk, Virginia Naval Shipyard in 1929. After his grandfather died, by the way, after collecting workers' comp for the next 46 years, his grandfather died on December 1, 1975, of a ruptured abdominal aortic aneurysm. His workers' comp payments should have been ceased, but court records show his grandson, then called Wright Bray IV, devised and intended to devise a scheme, an artifice to defraud the United States of America by means of false and fraudulent pretenses. The payments continued while Mahdi Bray was imprisoned for the drug and larceny charges. They continued after the Labor Department sent forms to Wrighty Bray Jr. to update his status. He was indicted in June 1988 on 64 counts of mail fraud and receipt of stolen U.S. securities. So that's a little bit about Mahdi Bray that you may not know about. There's much more. Much more. Mahdi Bray has been at the forefront of efforts to increase Muslim voter participation. Under his leadership, they've even tapped Girl and Boy Scout troops to get out the vote telephone banks Could you believe this? Bray was among a group of Islamist leaders to meet secretly with an outreach coordinator for Barack Obama's presidential campaign last September. It gets worse. Much worse. So here it is. That's who Mahdi Bray is. And if you want to read the whole story about the man behind the Ground Zero Mosque, something that the dimwit Bloomberg doesn't know, or you want to see more about Pelosi, the fascist who is drunk with power, who now wants to investigate those who oppose the mosque. This is amazing, coming from left-wing fascists and not a word from the liberals. You can go to michaelsavage.com. It's all there. All right, I'll be right back.
Savage.
Joining us now with the Savage Nation is Jack Hunter.
Well, it's good to be with you, Michael. I want to talk a little bit about partisanship. Let's first start with our liberal friends. It must be said that Obama-loving liberals are downright goofy. If you think about it, despite their once fierce and some would say warranted hate for George W. Bush, it seems that Democrats now make every excuse in a book for a president who, in many ways, behaves just like Bush did. If you remember, you know, Obama first burst on the national scene promising to reverse the policies that Bush had that were at least most unpopular with the left, things like the Iraq War, warrantless wiretapping, extraordinary rendition. Yet not only has Obama continued with each, but he's expanded them. I think leftist Noam Chomsky pointed out, the leftist intellectual, that Condoleezza Rice had said something to the effect that when Obama came into office, he would pretty much follow the same policies as Bush's second term. And I think that's been proven right. That's absolutely true. And it's just funny to the extent that Obama Democrats continue to confuse this, you know, his articulation and his style, if you will, for substantive difference. And these partisan Democrats exemplify the same sort of mindless partisanship that characterized the Bush Republicans that they used to abhor. Many of them won't admit that, but it's totally true. Now, I'll bring that up because I want to look at the partisanship that hurts conservatism. I'm talking about partisanship on the right that sort of blinds us to the bigger picture.
Well, like what?
I was standing in a local restaurant recently. I overheard some old men talking, and they were complaining about the president, this, that, and the other. And I heard one gentleman complaining about Michelle Obama's trip to Spain. Well, we've had criticisms there, but he was really hung up on it. And another gentleman said, and I quote, "Now think about that for a second. If a public gentleman's mind, and I think it reflects a lot of what the rank and file out there, grassroots conservatives, are thinking, that sometimes the Democrats are so bad that if the GOP doesn't take control, that everything's going to go to hell in a handbasket." Now the problem with that is they are forgetting recent Republican history. If conservatives want to know how Obama and his party are currently able to get away with creating colossal debt and doing all the government damage that they're doing, they should look no further than the last administration. Where was the right? Where were us right-wingers, as the left often asks, and I think justifiably so, when Bush was doubling the size of government and national debt during his 8-year term? Where was this guy who was so hung up on Michelle Obama taking a vacation when George W. Bush was expanding Medicare, which was the largest entitlement expansion since LBJ, Mr. Great Society himself? Where were conservatives, where were they complaining about the same week that George W. Bush enacted No Child or signed No Child Left Behind? I don't remember a lot of uproar about that. Maybe, obviously, from some grassroots conservatives, they weren't happy about it. But where was the uproar to the extent that we see about all these trivialities and things that people talk about Obama? I think it's worth pointing it out.
Well, I've been saying that for years on the Savage Nation.
Well, I think it's also worth pointing out, if we're talking about the Republicans, if they don't win, there's going to be riots, where some of those Republicans were. Let's take a look at Republican House Minority Leader John Boehner, who's a major critic of Obama at this right now, and rightfully so. If his party getting in office is going to prevent riots, what good is that to conservatives, as this is a man who stood right next to George W. Bush when he signed No Child Left Behind and said it was one of his greatest legislative achievements? Is that the sort of Republican that's going to prevent riots and turn this country around and sort of prevent what Barack Obama's doing? My bigger point is, when we're talking about stopping big government and stopping what Obama and Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid and the Democrats are doing, and let's face it, they are building upon what George W. Bush gave them the opportunity to do. His big government is being expanded by Obama, bigger and worser than we could possibly imagine. But we cannot fool ourselves into thinking that the same Republicans who got us to Obama are somehow now magically wonderful and everything's going to be okay, and we just put guys like John Boehner and those old Bush Republicans back in office. And in talking about this partisanship, Michael, you know, it's been reported that some Republican outfit somewhere, I guess apparently nostalgic for pre-Obama America, I think we all are, but that doesn't mean we're nostalgic for Bush America, they've erected a billboard that says, it's a picture of George W. Bush, and the caption says, "Miss me yet." Are they kidding? If they're conservatives, seriously, are they kidding? I don't miss him. No conservative should miss him.
Why do you say that?
Quite frankly, because this current president that we're all unhappy with continues to build upon the last one's status achievements. I think that's completely true. Think about it this way for a second. Imagine if with Bill Clinton in 2000, we went from Bill Clinton to George W. Bush. Imagine if there had never been a George W. Bush. Imagine if we went from Bill Clinton to Barack Obama. And President Barack Obama from 2000 to 2008 did exactly what George W. Bush did down to the letter. Everything from the Iraq War to the expansion of Medicare to No Child Left Behind to doubling the national debt to doubling the size of government. You name it, across the board, down to the letter to a T, if Barack Obama had emulated George W. Bush's agenda. Do you think conservatives would have been as up in arms? Now, I'm looking at a lot of the people on talk radio. You're the exception to the rule, Michael. You don't have any vested interest in the Republican Party. You're an independent mind, and that's what I'm talking about. That's what we need to have. How many on conservative talk radio, some of these, oh, I don't know, guys on Fox News or cigar-chomping guys that you talk about often, that's the way you put it, would have been defending, or excuse me, criticizing Barack Obama for doing exactly what George W. Bush did? I think they would have been all over him. And that shows you the sort of the partisan nature of many conservatives, and it's what's self-defeating. We need to look at the larger problem of statism as a whole. And we need to look at Republicans who get us there as much as we look at Democrats that get us there. It's self-defeating when we get caught up in, you know, talking for hours on end about Michelle Obama and her vacation, where Barack Obama might have been born. And, you know, I'm an open-minded guy. I'm willing to hear all these arguments. But the overarching problem, the much larger, bigger picture of increasing statism is the biggest thing we need to look at. Take a look at it from this perspective. With each successive president we've had, you can go back from Ronald Reagan, George H.W. Bush, Bill Clinton, George W. Bush, Barack Obama. Whether Republican or Democrat, does government not just keep getting bigger? Not even Ronald Reagan was able to have a smaller government coming out than when he went in. It keeps getting bigger and larger no matter what administration's in office. So why are we to think, you know, conservatives, as Russell Kirk once pointed out, are supposed to base their philosophy on history and experience, custom and habit, if you will. We look at things as they are, not necessarily ideological in the, as we would like them to be. That's what liberals do quite often. What are we supposed to believe about Republicans like John Boehner, these Bush Republicans, guys like Karl Rove, who are saying, you know, we're going to get the Republican victory in 2010 and 2012? Why should we believe those type of Republicans for a single second, given Republicans' track record in just making government bigger than even the last Democratic administration? George H.W. Bush made government bigger than what Ronald Reagan did. Bill Clinton got into office, government got bigger. George W. Bush made government much larger than what Bill Clinton did. Bill Clinton even actually managed to balance the budget at least one year. And what does that tell you? If Bill Clinton could arguably be considered more fiscally conservative than the Republican George W. Bush. And now we are here with Barack Obama. Do we honestly believe if we put that same old Republican Party back in office who got us into so much trouble from 2000 to 2008, they will begin dismantling what Barack Obama and the Democrats have done to this country? I don't think we will. You know, Representative Mike Pence made an appearance on MSNBC with Chris Matthews on Hardball not too long ago. And he was asked, Chris Matthews asked Mike Pence, who was sort of sticking up for the Tea Parties and saying he wanted to cut government and he was conservative, well, sir, what would you cut? And Representative Pence couldn't come up with one thing. I remember in 1996 when Bob Dole was the Republican nominee, as part of his stump speech to speaking to mainstream Republican audiences, one of the first things he would say is we need to cut the Department of Education. I don't know a teacher in my personal life that doesn't think that's a good idea. This is a mainstream idea that could catch on and was once part of the Republican platform. Get rid of the Department of Education. Put it back to the states. Mike Pence couldn't even say that. Do you expect that out of John Boehner? Do you expect that out of Karl Rove? Do you expect that out of any of the Bush Republicans who expanded government? And is it not silly to say, when we recognize this, the partisan nature of our politics, it's a football game. It's like the Redskins and the Giants, and one team. Politics needs to be more than that. It needs to be philosophical. And is it not a stretch to say, or is it not silly to say, quite frankly, as the gentleman in the restaurant I overheard said, that the Tea Party's people up in arms, and you know what? They need to be bipartisan. That is the greatest thing about the Tea Partiers, and the left does not give them enough credit. They are more independent than many people would realize and imagine. I've been to these Tea Parties. I've spoken at these Tea Parties. And the two things you could say that make them the angriest is that they're just there because they hate a black president, which is completely ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And that they're just Republican retreads who will fall back in line in a moment's notice. Will some of them? Yes. I dare say a majority won't, and I think that's what scares a lot of the Republican establishment as well as the Democratic establishment, and for conservatives, that is a beautiful thing.
Thanks for the report, Jack.
As always, I appreciate you having me on today, Michael. For this and more, I encourage your listeners to visit SouthernAvenger.com. Y'all take care.
I'll be right back.
Savage.
Joining us now with her view on the Ground Zero mosque situation is Brigitte Gabriel.
Thank you, Michael. This past Friday, President Obama waded into the Ground Zero mosque controversy, asserting it was a religious freedom issue. Memo to President Obama and the politically correct elites in media, politics, academia, and elsewhere. We're not disputing First Amendment rights here. We are not opposed to the First Amendment right to build a mosque. We are opposed to the erection of a mosque on the sacred ground of Ground Zero because this will be viewed by tens of millions in the Muslim world as a victory shrine. This will embolden those committed to jihad against America and swell their ranks. We are opposed to the stunning insensitivity towards the 9/11 victims by Imam Rauf and those supporting him in this endeavor. And we are concerned about the real agenda for this mosque, an agenda that includes the advance of Sharia law. I am going to share with you some information about Imam Rauf and many other supposedly moderate Islamic leaders so you can judge for yourself who the real Imam Rauf is, hardly the moderate he and his apologists claim to be. So I'm going to start with a glimpse of the media coverage of moderate Muslims in the United States so far. The New York Times, in October 19, 2001, wrote, quote, Imam Anwar al-Awlaki, spiritual leader of the Dar al-Hijra Mosque in Virginia, one of the nation's largest mosques, is held up as a new generation of Muslim leaders capable of merging East and West, end quote. Of course, we now know that al-Awlaki is the leader of al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula and a friend of the Fort Hood shooter and also Zazi, who wanted to blow up the New York subway system in New York in September, and the Christmas underwear bomber, among many others.
Right.
Now, here's another one. NBC Nightly News with Brian Williams on December 9, 2004 said, quote, It's the TV industry's newest experiment, Bridges Television, billing itself as the American Muslim Lifestyle Network, featuring movies, documentaries, cartoons. It's the brainchild of Asiya Hassan, an architect, and her husband Muzammil Hassan, a banker, who are disturbed that negative images of Muslims seem to dominate TV, especially since 9/11, end quote. Of course, we now know that this moderate Muslim, touted by all mainstream media, from ABC, CBS to NBC, beheaded his wife and called the police proudly telling them he did so because she filed for divorce against him and insulted his Muslim honor. Now here's another one. Sami Al-Aryan, a former tenured University of South Florida computer science professor. Sami Al-Aryan was considered such a moderate Muslim as an example of bridge builder that he won the friendship of prominent leaders of both the Democratic and Republican parties. He was photographed with George W. Bush during the 2000 presidential campaign and later was invited to meet Bush advisors at the White House and consult with them on Muslim-American relationship and strategy. Well, of course, now we know that Al-Aryan pleaded guilty to one count of, quote, conspiracy to make or receive contributions of funds, goods, or services to or for the benefit of the Islamic Jihad, a specially designated terrorist group. Al-Aryan was sentenced on May 1, 2006, to 57 months in prison, which includes 38 months' time served, and has agreed to be deported after serving the prison term. At Al-Aryan's sentencing hearing, U.S. District Court Judge James Moody called Al-Aryan, quote, a master manipulator. He also told him, continue quoting, you looked your neighbors in the eyes and said you had nothing to do with Islamic Jihad. Here's another one, Abdurrahman Al-Amoudi. You see where I'm heading with these examples. Abdurrahman Al-Amoudi is the head of the American Muslim Council. In 2002, the spokesman for FBI Director Robert Mueller described the American Muslim Council, AMC, as the, quote, most mainstream Muslim group in the United States. A year later, the Catholic bishops called the AMC, quote, the premier mainstream Muslim group in Washington, end quote. Abdurrahman Al-Amoudi was a Washington fixture. He had many meetings with both Clintons in the White House and once joined George W. Bush at a prayer service dedicated to victims of the 9/11 attacks. Al-Amoudi arranged a Ramadan fast-breaking dinner for congressional leaders. He six times lectured abroad for the State Department and founded an organization to provide Muslim chaplains for the Department of Defense. One of his former AMC employees, Faisal Gill, serves as policy director at the Department of Homeland Security Intelligence Division. The Washington Post described him as, quote, a pillar of the local Muslim community, end quote.
So where is he now?
Al-Amoudi was sentenced to 20 years in jail and surrendered his American citizenship as a part of his plea deal. How long is it going to take us, Americans, to get our head out of the sand and start smelling the hummus or tasting the hummus? That brings me to Imam Rauf and his background. So what do we know about this Imam's background, other than he is touted by the mainstream media as the exemplary Muslim who is trying to build bridges between East and West through interfaith dialogue and understanding? Our State Department is sending this man on a tour to the Middle East to speak about interfaith dialogue between us to build bridges between Muslims and America. If his words to the Arabic media are any indication, here is what he said as translated by Walid Chabet, a former terrorist who monitors Arabic media. Quote, this is by Imam Faisal Abdurrauf. I do not believe in religious dialogue. This phrase is inaccurate. Religious dialogue, as is customary understood, is a set of events with discussions in large hotels that result in nothing. Religions do not dialogue, and dialogue is not present in the attitudes of the followers, regardless of being Muslim or Christian, end quote. Well, how about that? I thought this is the whole reason why he tells Americans he is building the mosque. It's for dialogue and interfaith healing.
Exactly.
Hold on, my friends. It gets better. Let's see where this American Muslim stands on the separation of mosque and state. Quote, this is what he said into the Arabic media. The only law that Muslim needs exists already in the Quran and the Hadith. Yes, you heard it correctly. The only law that the Muslim needs exists already in the Quran and the Hadith, end quote. This is not some radical imam in Saudi Arabia or crazy Ahmadinejad or Osama bin Laden talking. This is the imam who wants to build a mosque at ground zero and preach in it.
What else do we know?
We have seen evidence of family and direct Muslim Brotherhood connections. His father, Muhammad Abdul Rauf, was a leading member of the Muslim Brotherhood working with Ayman al-Zawahiri, who is now the second man of Al-Qaeda. Muhammad Abdul Rauf fled Egypt to Kuwait after an Egyptian crackdown on the radicals and later came to America with his son, Rauf, and bought two-thirds of an East 96th Street block for an Islamic, quote, personal trust, revealing its 1.3 million Islamic money from Kuwait, Saudi Arabia, and Libya, only after construction of the Muslim Brotherhood Mosque began in 1984. Likewise, 46 Islamic nations funded the 17 million Islamic Cultural Center. Only after its 1992 opening did Rauf's father reveal that funding source or admit his long-term plans for discriminatory Muslim-only housing for the Islamic complex. Imam Faisal is named as a permanent trustee of the Muslim Brotherhood Mosque. At Perdana Global Peace Organization, a Muslim Brotherhood Hamas and Al-Qaeda affiliate, Imam Rauf is second in command to anti-Semitic former Malaysian Prime Minister and Islamic law advocate Mahathir Mohamad, who in November 2002 incited global anti-West financial war as a jihad worth fighting for.
Unbelievable.
In the fiscal year ended June 30th, 2009, Faisal's organization ESMA accepted at least $1.3 million, including $576,312 from Qatar, whose government stands accused of funding international terrorism, has long harbored terror financiers, and for decades hosted Muslim Brotherhood spiritual chief Yusuf al-Qardawi. Imam Rauf is quite friendly with al-Qardawi. A large founding shareholder in terror funding Al-Taqwa Bank, who champions Sharia law, wife beating, and suicide bombings. Rauf concluded in the Washington Post shortly after President Obama's June 2009 Cairo speech that he's challenged Muslims to, quote, live up to the tenets of our religion, embrace Sharia law, and as conceived by the Prophet, and see what happens, end quote. I can go on and on and on, Michael. But you get the idea. We have a detailed report on Imam Faisal and his connections at our website, actforamerica.org. If you haven't visited our website yet, I urge you to do so and sign the petition to stop the Ground Zero Mosque, which has now almost 100,000 signatures to be presented to elected officials in New York.
Wow.
The 9/11 report, which came out after the tragedy, analyzing how could such a tragedy happen on American soil, said, quote, we lacked imagination, end quote. We have no excuse 9 years after 9/11 to say we lack imagination, not after we have seen top leaders of Islamic organizations in America who lied through their teeth about who they were while working with shady terrorist organizations and supporters. This is not to say that all Muslim leaders in America are going to turn out convicted terrorists, but it is our duty to do our due diligence to ensure that we don't act like gullible fools played as instruments in the hands of our enemy trying to destroy us from within.
Where can we read more?
I urge all our listeners to go to actforamerica.org and sign our petition and sign up to get our emails and action alerts. Become a voice affecting your community and our nation. The time to make a difference is now.
Thanks for the report, Brigitte.
Thank you, Michael, for inviting me for your show tonight.
I'll be right back.
Savage.
Here is what the extremist Nancy Pelosi had to say about the Ground Zero Mosque.
And in my district, I have an opinion on almost every subject, but in New York, I'm sure the New Yorkers would like to make their own urban development decisions themselves. I think everybody respects the right of people in our country to express their religious beliefs on their property. The decision, though, as to how to go forward in New York is up to New York. I look to my colleagues in New York. Some of them have different views on the subject. It's up to them to work it out. But there is no question there is a concerted effort to make this a political issue by some. And I join those who have called for looking into how is this opposition to the mosque being funded.
Of course, Pelosi later said she wanted transparency on both sides. But that's after she was reined in by her PR team. The billionaire Bloomberg is running his mouth again, again defending the Ground Zero victory mask.
I was in, I think, the seventh, could have been eighth grade, and we have a civics class. And one of the things that we studied was the Bill of Rights. And the first one is the ability to say what you want to say, which means pray to whomever you want, any ways you want, anywheres that you want. And I think that is one of the fundamental things that differentiates America from every place else.
And he's a high school teacher all of a sudden?
It is not the government's business to get involved in religion and religious organizations, where they are or what they say or how they're funded. This is the fundamental right that Americans have to say and pray the way they want to. In terms of this particular mosque, I think it will add to the diversity of New York, and we're happy to have it.
Diversity is often a mask for perversity. This isn't about religion or diversity. It's about the pain of those who lost loved ones on 9/11.
It's not politics as far as I'm concerned. This is a basic fundamental right granted by the Constitution, and it is one of the things that differentiates America. Somebody said to me recently, you know, you can't build a church in some other countries, and yet they want to build a mosque here. I don't know who the they are, but let me tell you, that's right. That is the difference. That's something you should think about before you go to bed. You can have your religious organization here.
He's nuts. Even Harry Reid opposed this.
The Constitution gives us freedom of religion. I think that it's very obvious that the mosque should be built someplace else.
And here's the curious case of the American Muslim Society's Mahdi Bray braying again in defense of the Ground Zero Mosque.
I don't see a problem with that. I feel that certainly the project is well within its constitutional rights to pursue the current site that they are planning for their project, and that perhaps they don't want an alternative, but perhaps they want to stay where they are, and that's their fundamental right. I think this is what the president has articulated. I think this is what the Constitution articulates, and therefore I just feel that they perhaps decided that they want to go forward, and so they're not looking for an alternative.
Of course, Bray mentions nothing about his numerous criminal convictions and prison time.
When it comes to constitutional rights, polls really don't take precedence over people's fundamental rights. I would dare say that if you took polls in the South in the 60s, there were probably overwhelmingly people would have voted that I wouldn't have the right to eat at any lunch counter that I may want to or ride in the front of a bus. So I feel that you can't put people's constitutional rights to an opinion poll. That's why we have a constitution. There has been a poll that shows that the New Yorkers who live within the geographical boundaries of this particular proposed project actually favor it.
Can you believe this? You can read all about it on michaelsavage.com. I got to tell you this as a side note. I know you listen because this is one of the last places you can get real, honest, independent, conservative opinions and unfiltered news. And I want you to get the full impact of the Savage Nation. Go to TRN1.com, become a premium member, and get Savage Live, Savage Archives, and the Savage Podcast at TRN1.com. Click on my picture at TRN1.com today. California Supreme Court rejects affirmative action. Again, the California Supreme Court, which is very moderate, very, very moderate, has ruled against the city of San Francisco and has said that affirmative action must end again in California. They ruled that Proposition 209, which was passed by the voters to end racial preferences in California, it means that Gavin and Newsom and his far-left cronies must now stop discriminating against white male contractors. It seems that the moderate judges of California have saved this state from its own far-left politicians. Now, this is a huge loss for Attorney General Jerry Brown, Moonbeam Brown, who is again trying to worm his way back into the governor's mansion after 30 years on the outside. Brown had endorsed San Francisco's argument that white males should be discriminated against. Now, anyone who thinks that Jerry Brown has become more conservative or that Jerry Brown has turned over a new leaf should know that he went against the will of the people of California to support out-and-out racism against white males in this case. Brown wanted to nullify the votes of millions. But even more important is the fact that the moderate judges of the California state have for the second time saved the state from his so-called leaders. Now, for the first time in ages, I am proud to report the courts and the people seem to be on the same side. On the other side are Jerry Brown, Gavin Newsom, Barack Obama, Barbara Boxer, Dianne Feinstein, and all the other political hustlers who exploit race and sexual orientation for their own gain. So, you know, whatever you want to say about me, don't say one thing about me. I always go to the defense of the defenseless in this country, whether they be dogs, gorillas, elephants, or Marines or soldiers. It's getting uglier by the second. And our president, he said today he had no regrets about stepping into the controversy surrounding plans to build the controversial Islamic Cultural Center mosque two blocks away from Ground Zero. That's the world today. Now, the Muslims behind the Ground Zero Victory Mosque have refused to meet with Governor Patterson to talk about another site. What does this tell you about their claims that they're trying to build community trust in Lower Manhattan? What do you feel is their real object here? If this mosque is built, what do you fear the next goal of these extremists will be? Why have we not heard more from Republicans in opposition to the Ground Zero Mosque when even prominent educated Muslims such as the director of Al Arabiya TV opposes it? Nancy Pelosi has demanded an investigation into the opponents of the mosque. Will the Democrats leave Nancy in power after November, or will she be blamed for a massive defeat in the elections? And has the Ground Zero Victory Mosque become the defining issue of the November election? It should be. It tells you everything you need to know about the Democrats and their Islamist-friendly policies. Savage.